Jack LaLanne once said, "Exercise is king, nutrition is queen. Put them together, and you've got a kingdom. Get ready to have it all." This is the All for One podcast. You're about to get honest, accurate information about training and nutrition to not only achieve your goals, but to go beyond.
Go beyond.
Everything you need to make it to the kingdom. This is the All for One podcast. And now your host, personal trainer and nutrition coach, Aaron Armstrong.
Whoa, can you believe it? We are at episode 20 of my All for One podcast. I apologize about the audio of the last episode. I actually had people in the house when I was recording, so it did come up a little bit scuffed, and maybe I was not as enthusiastic as I could have been. That's just because I didn't want to be too loud, and I was trying to be observant of when there was too much noise for me to having to stop recording and take a break. So I apologize on behalf of that. Yeah, dude, we are getting closer and everly closer to Christmas fucking year. It has been a hectic week. I cannot believe how much things I have been doing. Literally last night I went to a friend's mess where we just kind of met up with some of my close friends and exchanged gifts and just had dinner and had a really good time. I got a mug which I think is pretty cool. I should start carrying it around the gym when I'm with my clients, when they ask why I'm asking them to do something. On the mug it says, "Because I said so." Obviously, I'm always going to give better justification than that, but I just thought it was a funny mug, and it is really cool. Do I use mugs to drink coffee? I didn't, but I might start doing it now. Or maybe just sipping some water from it, just to be extra. But we'll see what happens. But yeah, this weekend we're coming up to a White Christmas at Movie World tomorrow, which is going to be very fun. Which is why I'm recording this one ahead of time, so I do not have to worry and stress about that one bit, because that would not be fun. And then over the weekend, I've got another Secret Santa get-together with some of my other friends. That is going to be really, really fun as well. And then, yeah, the following weekend, it's fucking Christmas. Holy shit. I just have one or two things that I need to grab for my Christmas shopping, and then I am all set. Living a pretty good life, not stressed about any of it. I get a rent-free period over the next two fucking weeks as well. How sick is that? I know. I'm going to spend it all on Christmas gifts or just buy some dumb shit. Probably not. I'm probably going to try and just put it away as much as I can, but I probably won't. But we'll wait and see what happens. Today's episode is probably going to be part one of a continual ongoing trend of what are some fitness myths and going through them. So basically, I just want to be covering some of the basic fitness myths that I hear from clients and that I see a lot online, and just hopefully setting the record straight as best as I can articulate that. But we will see how we go. It's going to be a pretty long episode again as well. Maybe we'll see how we go in the recording process, but we'll get straight into it. So the first fitness myth that I always hear from my clients is, I cannot make good progress with only a 1 to 3 day training period. Now, this is completely false. Let me tell you why. So anywhere from, if you are hitting your muscle groups, anywhere from kind of 8 to 12 sets per body part per week, you are doing more than enough work within the week to be promoting muscle gain or even to be losing body fat. As long as you are keeping your activity up from what you were doing before, paying attention to your nutrition is going to be the key part in losing your body fat anyway, you will make significant change. Now, what is the key here? A, that we are consistent to whatever the days that we have set for ourselves, and B, that we actually sustain this in that medium to long term. You guys need to get really... you guys need to understand that it is a process that we're in for the long term. So you need to really start acting that way and get that into your head. Now, 1 to 3 days, if we do an effective full body workout, this is going to be way easier to sustain as well. You won't have to be in the gym doing those 5 days a week body split parts, which some people like. Most people won't be making the most effective gains on those, but it just varies person to person, however you want to train. But let's go back to 1 to 3 days. If you were in the gym 1 day a week and you were not training before that, you are doing so much more fucking work than someone who doesn't train at all. You are getting your body moving, your body is, you know, going through ranges of motion with load, you're promoting getting stronger for a few days, you're getting some extra activity in within that 1 week, which doesn't seem like much, but if you add that up throughout the next couple months and the next year or the next couple years, you have made a significant amount of work over time. Now, it might not be as optimal as 2 to 3 days training, but it is still something far fucking away from 0 days. So we need to get that through people's heads, that as long as you are doing an effective workout, with probably generally 1 to 3 days a full body workout, 3 days a week, 1 day a week, 2 days a week, whatever you feel is comfortable for you, over time you will make good progress. Now, eating shitty food and using those 2 days as an excuse, you will run into a wall. So obviously that is not what I am saying at all, but I'm saying if you just want to get into the gym and do a little bit, you will reap the benefits in that medium to long term. Just be patient with it. Take some photos, take some measurements, and they will be your best indicators of your progress. Okay. The next one, if you're not sore after a workout, it was ineffective. This has got to be one that just won't fucking die. Okay, this happens way too much in the fitness industry. People associate, oh my god, my muscles are fucking dead. I just had the best workout of my life. And now, let me just say that if you are just getting into training and you have never worked out before, or you have taken an extended long break after training and just get back into it, it's pretty unavoidable that you are going to be very, very sore the first couple weeks, maybe the first couple months of getting into training. But once your body adapts a decent amount, you should not be training past your limit. And a good indicator is, okay, I trained legs yesterday. My legs feel a bit tendered today. That is a good workout. This is what an ineffective workout would kind of feel like. I wake up in the morning, holy fuck, I need a wheelchair. I need to crawl out of bed. I cannot move my legs. Oh my god, that was the best workout ever because I can feel this pain. No, it is not. If anything, you have overworked and your muscles, all they are doing are recovering, not adapting. So you might think that association of soreness is going to be giving you an extreme benefit. But if anything, it is a clear sign of you overtraining, especially if you feel that soreness every single day, every single week at that very high, intense level. Now, what I recommend people doing is like a grace period of getting into training where they only start with 1 to 2 days a week of full body workouts that are moderate intensity and just focus on going through the movements. And then once you have mastered the movements, your body will adapt and be worked out enough just off bar or body weight movements. You can slowly start ramping that intensity up and go from there. Now, as stuff becomes more easy, yes, you want to push stuff further. You want to push a little bit harder. But if you push too hard and you become really, really sore, that is just going to be a good marker that maybe you had pushed things a little bit too hard. This kind of falls into the same category of, oh my God, I'm sweating. I'm doing so much work. It's literally the same thing. Look, some people sweat more than other people. I know people that train fucking hard and don't break a sweat, but they feel tired the same as someone who does train hard and breaks a shit ton of sweat. The opposite is true of people who literally lift a finger and they got buckets coming down from underneath their armpits. It just depends on the person. Just because you're sweating, just because you're puffed out, doesn't mean it's an effective workout as well. Make sure that you prioritize your recovery periods, especially if you are doing resistance training. If you're doing cardio, do whatever you want. I'm not going to speak on that one today. The next thing is talking about stretching before a workout. Now, is this essential? It depends. Now, if we're talking static stretching, you definitely do not want to be stretching your muscles statically before you work out. The reason being is because when you stretch a muscle, it relaxes that muscle. And also, it does give you that extra range of motion, but if you overstretch and say you go into a deep squat and your muscles aren't firing properly and you are putting load into a position where A, you're not used to going through that range of motion, and B, your muscles aren't able to fire as optimally, you can be setting yourself up for injury, discomfort, and a bunch of other things as well. So what you should be doing properly is dynamically warming up. This means doing some warm-up movements that promote the same range of motion that you are going to be traveling through on whatever exercises you are picking. A great example is if your hips are super tight, do some leg swings in front of the body and across the body, as well as doing some shoulder dislocates where you're moving constantly, which is slowly, but naturally moving and opening the body up through movement. What this will kind of look like is, okay, now, is there ever a time where you want to be static stretching? Yes, I do it for my clients sometimes when, if they have extreme tightness that they cannot function properly, or if there is ever discomfort around the knees, in the shoulders, in the chest, there are things that we can try to stretch out just a little bit, and then we jump into the exercise and see if that was just overly tight, and maybe that helps a little bit. But for the vast majority of you, you want to do these dynamic warm-ups before you rely on these stretches. Keep them out and you'll have a much more effective workout, and you will be less prone to injury and more prone to better performance, which sounds really fucking good. I get it. Now, the next one is, it used to be a very controversial topic, but it's remained pretty good for the last couple of years, but I still see it floating around. Is carbs are bad for you? This one is very predominant in my middle-aged to older clients, where they have been told by people online, their peers, their parents, that carbs are bad. Carbs are going to be your main source of energy for your day-to-day movement. So if you do not have a reasonable amount of size of carbs in your diet or nutrition, you are probably going to be feeling shit. A key example of this is one of my clients who had completely cut out carbs and was eating salads and no carbs at all, and was eating, you know, like salad, meat, all that sort of thing, but no pasta, no rice, no potatoes or anything that's going to give her carbs, because she thought they were bad. And she had zero energy when she started off with me, and I was like, look, girl, I want you to introduce these carbs into your diet. Let's just do a very small amount to start with and see how that affects your body. Long and behold, about 2-3 weeks in, she has all this burst of energy that helps her carry out throughout the day and throughout her workouts as well. Now, everybody is going to react differently to carbs. This isn't a one-size-fits-all sort of thing, but for the vast majority, most people are going to perform a lot better and be a lot more energized when they have carbs in their diet. Obviously, portion control is a huge thing. I'm not telling you to go out and eat a shit ton of carbs for no particular reason. Get it measured out by someone who can calculate your protein, fats, and carbs and see how your body reacts to it. But yeah, so 8 to 12 week challenges is going to be the next topic. Now, this one is going to hit fairly close to home, and this one I'm going to be basing off shows like The Biggest Loser as well. I'm sure everybody has seen The Biggest Loser growing up. Very, very entertaining, but very, very disgusting. Now, why is it disgusting? Well, if you do a quick search online, you will note that over 70% of the people who participated on those shows returned to their original weight, or 70% of the weight that they had before. This is insane. So what does this sort of do? Now, I get it, TV show versus challenge, how is it similar? Well, they were designated to train within this certain time period with trainers around this high intensity, go mentality, and they have these really great results in that short term. But the thing is, once this challenge is done, once this reality show is over, they go back to their own behaviors. This is horrible. This is why people train for years without real success, is because they have short-term success, take a break, put everything back on and more, come back and they find themselves in the same cycle and eventually hating training, stopping it, or just, yeah, trying the next extreme thing that is only pulling them further and further away from their goal. Now, how could an 8 to 12 week challenge be really good? It can be good by explaining that the goal that they are trying to achieve is probably a more medium to long term, but what we can do within this 8 to 12 week period is set them up with the tools and the education that they need to be sustainable once this challenge has entered. Any trainer should agree that there is progress that can be made in 8 to 12 weeks, but it is not going to be that end goal within that time period, and a sustainable outcome is always the best outcome, for sure. So what should you strive for? What should you learn for? You should learn for long-term adaptations, better food choices. Whole foods is always going to be the best choice in terms of nutrition. Getting adequate sleep. I learned a really interesting statistic today on sleep and how it contributes to fat gain or weight gain. They say that people who get less sleep are 55% more likely to be obese or put on weight. And this is people who range from anywhere from kind of 3 to 5 hours sleep. You have 55% chance to put on weight just based off your sleep. This is a crazy statistic to hear about, and it just makes total sense as well that if you're not getting adequate sleep, your body is going to be under a lot of stress because it's unable to recover properly. It's going to deplete you of your moods, you're going to be more stressed, and we know that high stress is associated with fat gain as well, so this just makes total sense to me, but it was crazy to kind of hear about it. Now, I just want to make really clear that I don't want to take away the invitation that an 8 to 12 week challenge can offer for clients and members is that it can get people who have never trained before interested into training, and then maybe that's what started them into their fitness journey. I completely agree that that is a really good thing. I think the social aspect of everything is good too, but within that 8 to 12 week period, usually it's just a bunch of high intensity training, which is obviously going to get you the quickest results in that short amount of time. But then those adaptations down the track are going to come back and bite people in the butt. Say we lose 20 kilos. If we keep that 20 kilos off for life, that is successful training. If we lose that 20 kilos and we put it back on half a year later, that is unsuccessful training, and that is not okay. So we should be promoting behaviors and training methods that promote this and point people in that direction. I've gone over this many times of small little steps to build people up and up and up to make everything that they are doing more sustainable. That's pretty much what I wanted to cover for that 8 to 12 week challenge. The next thing that we have a misconception about is females only do cardio. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just 2020 and 2021, but the girls have been getting into the fucking weights room, and it has been so fucking impressive to see girls lifting weights, doing deadlifts, doing squats, having the confidence to go up and try and PB and challenge heavier weights. It is insane. I think I see more girls up in the weight section now than I have ever seen in like the last 2 or 3 years. And like, they're not afraid to get their fucking hands dirty. I'll tell you, some of these girls look meaner than me when I'm training. And if anyone has ever seen me train, you would know that I definitely have a mean mug face on me in the middle of my sets. But no, these freaking chicks have been insane. There's been a lot of good, I'd say, Instagram audiences on getting girls into this. A really big example would be this Brett Booty guy. He's called like the Booty Man on Instagram. Gives really good selection of exercises for girls, pushes them towards weights, and has such a massive testimonial of girls that he has trained, which have seen insane results from getting into the gym. And it really helps highlight that they are not going to get all big and bulky just from training in that weight section. And it's actually going to get them a lot closer to achieving their goal, which is awesome. And the next one is going to be weights make you bulky. I guess this kind of ties into the previous point of females only doing cardio, but weights will not make you bulky. There is becoming more and more information that doing weights is going to get people closer to where they want to be achieving their goals, and it's going to be the most sustainable way for them to do it too, because after a good training session with weights, you should feel refreshed, uplifted, energized, and good. And that is going to be a much more sustainable way of training versus something that is crazy intense, that you can't really enjoy, and that the only progression is going to be to go more intense or for longer under a certain intensity. But when you see yourself getting stronger, you see yourself becoming more lean, and things are changing, your butt's growing, arms are toning up, they're not getting massively bulky. Now that muscle is showing, but not in the way that you expected it to. For example, you just see like a nice shape, you don't see raging freaking ginormous freaking 20 inch biceps on a girl who's done curls for 2 weeks. Like, that's just not what happens. But that has been really cool to see as well. But yeah, there's so many myths out there. It's pretty sad, especially with like the older generation of clients. I think these are the ones that they have struggled the most with. They associate that kind of longer time in the gym with better gains, soreness with is better, and all these old fashioned ways that have been completely outdated and disproven through science and other model trainers that you can see on the internet. Some of the best examples of these, which let me talk about them for a second as well. One, my personal favorite is Mind Pump. You can find them on YouTube, on Spotify. They literally have covered every topic in the fitness industry 3 to 4 times, and I hope to do the same eventually as well. But they are just so good at articulating how things work and why things don't work. And, you know, there's just so many episodes that you can pick what you want to listen to so that you're not just bored from listening to, you know, these three random guys speaking about something that you don't even care about. They, I'm not even kidding. They have like 1,700 fucking episodes. I'm on episode 20 today, and they just offer so much. Another good trainer online is JPG Coaching. Good technique, good tempo work, very good variation and explanation of what exercises to do and how to do them. Another big one on YouTube is Jeff Nepard. Very science-based, very toned in with what he is doing nutritionally and in the gym as well. Same thing, gives good explanations. Now, what do you want to stay away from on social media? I would say it's kind of like Do You Even pages, where they just have these really ineffective workouts that look really fancy, that it's just there for you to buy into their product, to make you feel like you are going to look that way if you buy and train like they train. Other ones can be like kind of V-Shred, where it's just a bunch of bullshit. They're trying to push supplements onto you, claiming that they are doing these miracle god work results, when in reality all that they are doing is kind of suppressing your hunger, which gives you temporary success, which I just talked about in the last episode, which if you haven't had a chance to go and listen to that, get the fuck over there, listen to that shit, because it's pretty good stuff. But yeah, you should be able to tell the difference between someone who is being genuine, trying to help you on social media or advice in person, by these few things here. Number one, they are asking questions about your lifestyle, about your job, about your realistic training frequency, and about your goal as well. They're not just trying to push a program onto you straight away. They are trying to find information on what you do and what is going to be the most realistic and effective way for you to fit training into your life, because that's what it comes down to. The next couple things that you want to look out for is, are they trying to push supplements on you straight away? If so, run the hell away, because there is so many more things that we can be looking at nutritional-wise, training-wise, sleeping-wise, what else? Stress management-wise, before we even touch a fucking supplement. Stay away from all supplements except for maybe creatine and some amino acids. The next thing that we can be looking for to run away from would be, let's say, what do we want? Unrealistic expectations. So I actually thought of a really good quote, which I posted on my Instagram just yesterday. It is, take inspiration and not expectation. Now, what does this mean? How did I think of it? I have no fucking idea. It just popped into my head and I said it out loud and I said, yo, that's pretty good. Maybe I should write that down. And so I did. Basically, what it means is, yes, you can aspire to look like the people that you see on social media. Just understand that there is a lot of editing and usually a lot of enhancement use that goes into these crazy physiques. Now, there are some natural ones that you can aspire to look like that look like that they are enhanced. I'm not painting this brush over everybody, but the majority of the users that you see online are probably enhanced, or there is a lot of Photoshop and lighting manipulation and all these other things that you aren't even aware of, like people sucking in their guts, posing in a separate angle. And it's just not realistic, and it just leaves a really bad comparison for you, because you'll be like, why don't I look like this? I'm never going to look like this. I hate training. And then you don't. Yeah, so where was I going with that? I actually just lost my train of thought. This happens from time to time. Now, the next thing that you should look... Oh, wait. Okay. And so the next part of it is not expectation, which basically means follow... Compare yourself to where you were when you started training, and that is going to be your expectation. These enhanced athletes with insane genetics, lighting, editing, you are most probably not going to look like them, but if you are improving your physique, whether that's dropping in body fat, putting on more muscle mass, getting stronger in the gym, if you are measuring these units of progress, You were doing the right fucking thing, and you should be comparing yourself to who you were when you started versus how you are going now. That is going to be a way more realistic and rewarding way for you to be consistent with the training. Because instead of comparing it to these superhuman athletes that have a crazy fucking physique, that are enhanced or highly edited, you are going to have a realistic goal that you can get towards, and you're going to be happier with yourself and be less comparative to other people. So that kind of covers a lot of the fitness myths that we went over today. There are many, many more which I tend to talk about later, but this is where I'm going to leave it for now. I hope you guys have an amazing Christmas. I'm going to be talking to you guys next week anyway. Disregard that last bit. I'm not going to edit it out. But yeah, I'll talk to you guys next week. I'm going to have the best fucking weekend ever. It is such a good time to be alive. Be grateful for everything that you guys do have, because you never know when it's not going to be there anymore. But yeah, I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday. Take care of yourselves. I will see you all later. Hear you all later. You will hear me. I will not hear you unless you talk to me, which you can find me at allforone_PT. Thank you so much for listening. That's me gone. Bye.
Been listening to the All for One podcast. It's Aaron's passion to give you honest, accurate information when it comes to training and nutrition. We want you to achieve your goals. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review it. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hook up with us on Instagram at allforone_PT. For questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to allforonept@gmail.com and find us on Facebook at All41PT. We'll leave you with a quote from Gabe Grunwald. It's okay to struggle, but it's not okay to give up on yourself or your dreams.